Okay, this hour with the pharmacist Ben Fuchs, we will take your phone calls. He's from criticalhealthnews.com. I'll give you that toll-free number a little bit later on this hour as well. So we will be back. Every line is taken already, Ben, so we'll come and get the calls in just a second. We are back with pharmacist Ben Fuchs. Ben, you still have your Bright Side radio program going too,
yes,
don't
sir.
You?
Sure. Thank you, George. I'm on the air Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 Pacific, 10 to 11 Central Time. And I call it the Bright Side because I was so sick of the negative stuff. I wanted people to understand there's good news here. So I wanted people to look at the bright side. Your diseases are just signals from your body that you're doing the wrong thing. Just do the right thing, and your disease will go away. Now, I'm talking chronic degenerative diseases here, the diseases that the progressive long-term diseases where the body doesn't get better. They are all reversible because it's in the nature's,
yes,
in the body's nature to reverse.
And by the way, I'm a proponent in mainstream medicine. I think they do overall a pretty darn good job. But
heroic medicine.
But I think we need, as individuals, to do things so you don't need mainstream.
Yes, you're talking about a distinction that doesn't get made. What you're talking about is the distinction between heroic medicine and ambulatory medicine. The medicine that treats trauma and that treats infection versus the medicine that purports, because it doesn't really do it, it purports to treat long-term chronic lifestyle-based diseases. This is a very important distinction. We collapse these two ideas at our peril because we believe, because the doctors are miraculous. Praise God for the surgeons these days. They can stitch anything back on. This guy's coming back from Iraq. They do amazing, amazing thing with burns and with limbs that are blown off. This is a miracle. Praise God that we have this. But to collapse that idea into the idea of lifestyle, diseases of civilization, diseases of participation, is done at our peril. If that heroic medicine gets an A+, medicine, what we call ambulatory medicine, where you walk in and out of the doctor's office, ambulatory medicine gets an F-. It doesn't even, it's below an F. It's a complete and utter failure, and the testimony to that is how sick Americans are. Do you know, George, we are among the sickest, maybe the sickest, of all the industrialized nations, and we spend more capita on drugs and on surgeries and devices, and we got all kinds of government-subsidized medical care, and we're falling apart in infant mortality and obesity and diabetes, and it's unnecessary.
You know, at the airport, when you sit there waiting for your plane, you people watch, Ben. And you see all kinds of people, sizes and shapes and everything else. But the one thing I have noticed lately, and I'm not talking about just, you know, the obesity issue, because, you know, I really feel for people who just try to lose some weight and they can't. But I've noticed that there are a lot of people limping or walking with, you know, gimps and things like that. I didn't notice that before.
That's not a good thing. We're literally falling apart, George. We're literally falling apart, and unnecessarily so.
Yeah. Okay, let's take calls because we've got a whole bank of calls for you, and we don't have enough time to get to everybody, I'm sure, but we'll do the best we can. Claudia is in Joshua Tree, California. Claudia, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Good evening. Two years ago, last June, I had a stroke in my sleep. I woke up feeling better than I had in a long time. Everything was fine till I tried to talk to one of my cats, and my face didn't move.
Oh, my God.
It was in the hospital in Desert Regional in Palm Springs. They treated me very nice. But they gave me all these pills, blood thinners, and blood pressure pills. And I, after the first few months of the blood thinners, I stopped taking them because I told my doctor I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life having to wear long sleeves or look like somebody beat me up because one little bump would have my arm bleeding under the skin. Yeah. But now I'm just taking the blood pressure, and I wanted to know what the doctor thought of them. It's hard to pronounce them. The first one is amlodipine.
Yeah, these are all drugs that are messing around with your circulatory system. But here's what you need to be doing.
Uh-huh.
First of all, you need to be doing slow, deep breathing. And I'm telling you, this is a must for anybody with circulatory issues, for everybody, but especially if you have circulatory issues. Blood and oxygen are best buddies. For keeping the blood moving, for delivering oxygen to the cells, et cetera. So slow, deep breathing is so easy to do. Do you know just sitting in a hot bath will allow you to have a slow, deep, will allow you to relax your muscles?
And you feel better when you do that.
You feel better. You know, you have two nervous systems. You got a relaxation nervous system, and you have a stress and fight or flight nervous system. Where do you think healthy circulation lives? It lives in the relaxation nervous system. So if I was president, we wouldn't have Obamacare. We'd have national massage insurance, where every American gets 2 massages a month on the government or from our taxes. That's the kind of insurance we need. You know, this is not a joke. This is not trivial. This is not an indulgence, these kinds of ideas. You know, relaxing the body by activating the parasympathetic nervous system through deep breathing, through mental and emotional strategies, through muscle relaxation, through nutritional supplementation, through fasting, through these basic simple strategies is the key to wellness. Activation of the rest and digest, relaxation, healing nervous system. And this is built into the system. The Bible says you're either with me or against me. Well, in the body it says you're either parasympathetic net or sympathetic net. You're either in fight or flight mode, you're either in fear mode, or you're in relaxation mode. And where do you think healing and wellness are? They're in healing. They're in relaxation. They're in a hot tub. God wants us in a hot tub. A hot tub is where you open up all of your blood vessels. You get more blood flow to the prefrontal cortex and away from the reptilian brain. You activate immunity. You support digestion. Every marker of health. Everything we love about being alive is manifested by relaxing the body, especially if you have a circulation problem like a stroke or a history of stroke.
Thank you for that, Ben. Next up, let's go to Tommy in Cleveland, Ohio on the wild card line. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, George. Listen, thanks, first of all, for connecting me and so many others with all your great programs.
You are very welcome.
Keep us in touch with everything, man.
Sure thing.
Listen, I just want to say real quickly, I want to pay tribute to two great spirits who passed us recently, and that was Dr. Wayne Dyer and the great Oliver Sacks.
Love them both.
My question for Ben is, listen, I totally connected with what George was saying earlier in the program about his colleague having the pulmonary embolism. I had a DVT, a deep vein thrombosis, many years ago, and thank God I didn't have the pulmonary action. But I basically, once I got off the drugs, the Coumadin, I got into two I think safer realms, and that is natokinase and picogenol.
Yes.
And I just wanted to get your opinion on
natokinase.
Those
I was mentioning that before we went to break. We talked about natokinase. Natokinase, the enzyme that comes from natto, is one of the best blood thinners there is. And it's got vitamin K.
Yeah.
It's got all kinds of
very
vitamins
natural
in there, vitamin K.
Does that come from worms?
No, natto is a soy product.
Okay.
Sure. I should look that up, actually.
I thought it came from worms.
No, I don't think it comes from worms. It's a soy product, I think. But I'll check
that out. Yeah, check that out.
Yeah.
Check that out, indeed. But
it's a kind of bean of some kind.
What do you think of these thrombosis socks?
Say that again, thrombosis.
Thrombosis socks.
Oh, yeah, they're going to give Tom those compression socks for sure. Yeah, that's a mechanical strategy. I mean, it's a chemical issue. It's not a mechanical issue necessarily, but you can definitely support it with compression socks. Inversion machines. Have you ever seen these inversion devices?
Yes, I've seen that. I've seen that on the TV commercials.
Yeah, those are great, the inversion devices, too. Because remember, it's the veins, the blood is not being pushed upwards in that second part of the circle. So when you hang, you can actually support the movement and also the movement of the lymph. The lymph is very underappreciated when it comes to degenerative diseases. The lymph is critical to keep that waste material moving. When the lymph starts to pull up, you know where the doctor checks your lymph nodes when you're sick? Those little pockets of clogged up lymph occur throughout the body, and the skin, they show up as boils. You know, people have, they call it cystic acne. Have you ever seen, and that's really tragic, George, and that's a classic sign of lymphatic congestion, and all you got to do is clean out the lymph and clean out the body, and one of the best ways is to hang upside down or even jumping on a rebounder or moving the body. These are all the little things we can do.
Okay, now we go to Skype. Elizabeth's with us in Manchester, New Hampshire. Check it out here. Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Super.
Awesome. I had a question for Ben.
Yes.
I just recently noticed that I've never had this happen before. I've had a lump on towards the top of my leg.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure,
is it fatty?
I'm sorry, what is it?
Does it feel fatty?
kind of.
Yeah, that's a sign that you're not processing fats correctly. That's a sign that your fat, the fatty system of the body, there's two major systems in the body. Well, there's a bunch of distinctions, but one of the major distinctions in the body is between the fatty system and the watery system. The watery system is the fluids, and the fatty system is sort of, you know how to say oil and water don't mix. It's another phase. And fats are difficult to process. They require a healthy gallbladder. Gallstones are a result of fat processing issues. They require a healthy pancreas, stomach, intestine, liver. We've got problems with fatty liver disease, so you got to work on your fats. That means that you're not digesting or you're not processing. And it happens a lot with women because there's a relationship between female hormones and fat processing. So the first thing is good bacteria and fermented foods. Get yourself on the best probiotic supplement you could find and start using fermented foods. And then you want to start using fat-dissolving and fat-processing nutrients. Probiotics, good bacteria, they're a step in the right direction for processing fats. But digestive enzymes are also important. I don't know if you ever heard of lecithin or lecithin granules. Those can also be very helpful. You know, if you can find bile salts anywhere, bile salts are unbelievably important, not just for digesting fats, but for clearing toxins out of the body. They act as hormones. And bile salts are made in the liver, and many people don't do that effect, don't have healthy livers, so may not be making bile salts effectively. So using bile salts, which you'll find in digestive enzyme products, or you can find bile salts by themselves. Focus on fats and fat metabolism. That's probably a lipoma is what they call it.
What do you think of lutein for the eyes?
Lutein's wonderful stuff. All those colored, you know, the eyes are amazing. Oh my God, the eyes are amazing from a cellular perspective. But they draw, process light energy using pigments from fruits and vegetables. And lutein is one of these. The colors that we see in nature, in fruits and vegetables, are not just there to be beautiful as they are. They're actually integrated into our body, and they become processors, light processors. And they go into the eye, and they are in the skin as well. And they're in various systems of the body. Where inside the body, they help the body process electrical energy. You know, at the end of the day, George, we're electrical beings. This is what we fundamentally are, and nutrition is just this incredibly beautiful way that all of that electricity is channeled and directed into creating structure. And that's what we call nutrition, whether it's protein, fats, and carbohydrates, macronutrition, or whether it's vitamins and minerals, the micronutrition. All of these are nothing more than this incredibly organized and intelligent way, information-packed way of channeling light energy, electrical energy, light energy into electrical energy to make our bodies. And it's done through pigments, largely anyway, through pigments that are found in fruits and vegetables. Lutein is a yellow pigment, but there's red pigments, and there's blue pigments, and there's violet pigments. There's all kinds of different pigments.
We're going to our friend in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Barry's with us. Hey, Barry, good to hear from you.
Hello there, George. Gosh, those once again, what a pleasure. And, of course, I had a good conversation with Gina. Somebody, gosh, what a great gal she is. You know, what an asset to your program.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, gosh, those are devastated to hear the news about Tommy, and especially tonight. But thank you so much for keeping us in touch.
Yes.
Because, Ben is right. An embolism like that is so dangerous it could be devastating, and the thinners probably need to be used some right now, but he's right too. I don't know if you remember, I've got a biochemistry background and worked in pharmaceuticals for 25 years, and so I know what Ben's about. You don't need to use them very long. But anyway, thanks for just everything you do, George. But Ben,
yes, sir.
I just wanted to comment that I consider myself a amateur pharmacologist.
Okay.
I don't have a PhD.
You don't need one. You got to have a passion for it. That's all.
That's right. Yes. Exactly.
No, I got you.
Anyway, but boy, oh boy, you're full of good information, and I love the when George has you on just for a few minutes sometimes, and I would like for you to be on a little more often, and sometimes for a couple hours or whatever.
Well, I have a show. You can listen to my show in the mornings, and there's archives, too. I got lots of archives.
Well, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. Just pull up your office. I'm computer illiterate. I have to get my wife to do it, believe it or not. And here I am, a biochemist. I can't even use a computer, but I've been retired for 25 years, so I didn't get to learn before I was already out of the job market.
Yeah, everything's changed a lot, you know, especially pharmacology. They got all these biologics now.
Oh, gosh. Give me no kidding. I really enjoyed the pharmaceutical industry until I just really kind of got fed up with it, and you know what I'm talking about.
It's a Dr. Strangelove kind of thing, you know. I mean, it's an interest from a biochemistry perspective. It's very fascinating, but it's twisted. It really is twisted. It's perverted chemistry, Dr. Strangelove chemistry.
Is the pharmaceutical industry, Ben, much like you can't live with it and you can't live without it?
You know, pain pills, in certain anti-infectious kinds of things, I'm glad we have those. But for the long-term chronic degenerative issues, I'm telling you, George, there's not a single drug you need to be on. And not only that, if you're on a prescription drug, your number one health objective should be to figure out how to wean yourself off of that as soon as possible. And I would tell you, using dietary strategies, nutritional supplementation, stabilizing your blood sugar, making sure you're oxygenating correctly, reducing stress, activating the parasympathetic nervous system, using mental and emotional strategies, praising God on some level, whatever that is, divine force, nature, whatever you want to call it. You know, these are the ways the body reverses degenerative disease on its own, not medicine. Remember, medicine is a middleman. We don't need a middleman. Eliminate the middleman. Is what I say.
What would you say is the best drug out there for whatever it does?
Pain pills. Pain pills. I'm a big believer in pain pills because I've been in pain. I had knee surgery a few years ago. I don't know if you ever had knee surgery. But
no.
I remember them wheeling me out of the room, operating room, and I remember hearing this voice that wasn't me, but it was me, but it didn't seem like it was me. It was saying, morphine, give me morphine, just like that. And I didn't say, George, I didn't say, vitamin C, I want some nutrients. I said, morphine, and give it to me now. And you know what? I was glad I had it. I was very glad. You know, then when they used to do surgery, can you imagine what it was like before when they used to do surgery? They did surgery in the 18th century and 17th century with no anesthetic. You know, can you imagine this with no pain pills later?
Gosh. Yeah, but you can get addicted to pain pills, can't you?
You got it, you see, because we're in existential pain, George. We're not just in physical pain. We're in existential pain. And so we do pain pills because we're in pain from being alive, because we've created a culture that where we're separated. We live in fear at every turn. And it shows up in the body. It shows up as contraction. This is what the limping is about. It shows up as sympathetic activation. It shows up as insomnia. It shows up as anxiety. It shows up as depression. You know, it shows up as our ailments. And so we have created a culture that doesn't serve us. You know, I'm 55 now, right? And I'm getting older. And so I realize, why do we have a culture where we don't honor old people? Because we're all going to get old, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
faster than you know.
Wouldn't it make sense to have a society where we loved old people and we couldn't wait to get old? Why do we have a society where the inevitable is demonized? It's inevitable. And we make it like it's a terrible thing and we're dreading being old, but we're all going to get old.
Except on this show, we love them. Ben, stick with us. We'll come back and take final calls. This may be the fastest night I've ever seen with you. We'll be back. Gosh, I could probably do the full 4 hours with pharmacist Ben tonight. My gosh, these phones just don't stop. So we'll be back in a moment. We'll take more of your calls with him. Don't forget, criticalhealthnews.com is his website that he is affiliated with. The toll-free number is 1-855-949-RADIO. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Pharmacist Ben with us. Ben, in your career, what has been the one thing that probably got you so emotional with what you do?
When my dad had a stroke.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's what really got me. And they told him, of course, like they tell everybody, not to eat broccoli and cauliflower, or broccoli and Brussels sprouts and green leafy vegetables and because of the vitamin K. That's what pushed me.
Yeah.
That kind of pushed me over. And that was about 20, 25 years ago.
Tonight is the one-year anniversary of the death of my sister.
Oh, my God.
She was fighting stage 4 brain cancer.
Oh, my God.
And she fought it. Wow, Ben, she fought it.
Oh, my God.
But in the long run, it got her.
How old was she?
Oh, she was in her mid-50s.
Oh, I'm sorry, George.
And I think it's the cell phone.
I wonder about that.
She was on it a lot. She was on it a lot, but...
You know, we're swimming in a sea of electromagnetic energy that didn't exist 100 years ago.
When we found out about it, she had passed out, and that's when we knew there was something wrong. We got her on Turmeric, I mean, she tried some alternative things along with conventional, but it was too, it had gone too far. So here's a question for you. Can some of these things be reversed if they've gone too far?
Well, you know, it can be reversed, but you may not have enough time if it's gone too far. If the degeneration has gotten to a point where you only have 2 weeks or 2 months or 6 months, but the process of recovery is going to take a year, you know, you're going to run out of time. So that can happen. However, George, listen, the key is to feel better. It's not to have the label of your diagnosis removed. It's to feel better. We don't know how good we can feel in a body. And so we set the bar so low, we're just happy to be officially not a diabetic or officially have our autoimmune disease under control. What I'm saying is that we can feel better immediately. Once you start to put the good stuff in, it's really this simple.
Mm-hmm.
Put the good stuff in and take the bad stuff out, you will immediately begin to feel better.
Right.
And that's why I always tell people to fast, because I know people are skeptical, and fair enough. You know, they've been led to believe and they've been conditioned for decades. Everywhere you turn, there's this medical messaging. So I tell people, just fast for a day. Just fast.
Well, here's something, too, you need to add to that.
Yes.
We can do all that. We can supplement. We can fast. We can do it all. You have to remove stress from your life.
It's so important, George. It's so important. That's why I call it SMEP, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. And I never want to be portrayed as anybody who says, oh, just take this nutrient or that nutrient or this physical remedy or this physical strategy. You have to apply the mental and emotional as well. And it's all about burden, really, even from a physical perspective. It's about burden. It's about stress. You know, this whole idea of stress, by the way, was we didn't really know about it officially until the 30s. It was a guy named Hans Selye who actually came up with what he called the stress, the general adaptation syndrome, he called it. But it was basically the stress theory of disease. And it's really not stress, George. It's strain. We call it stress, but really it's strain. And these are engineering terms that refer to forces that are placed on systems. And stress is the force, but the strain is where we have control over the response. See, the stressors are always going to be there, but it's how we respond to those stressors. And we want to be able to respond by getting stronger. Nietzsche said, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so we get stronger in response to stress when we're rested and when we're nutriated. From a physical perspective, this is. When we're rested and when we're nutriated, stresses make us stronger. This is what weightlifting's about. This is what athletics, this is what bodybuilding is about. When you stress the body in combination with lots of rest, mostly rest, and good nutrition and a clean environment inside the body responds to stress by getting bigger and better and stronger. It's as if you took your little Geo Metro or Ford Fusion or whatever, your dinky little car, and you drove it out in the mountains and four-wheeled it and came home, parked it in the garage, and came back out the next night, and it was a Cadillac Escalade. It was a miracle, right? What the heck happened? Well, that miracle happens in the body because the living system, the living biological system, is designed to respond to stress by getting bigger and stronger and better if it's rested and if it's nutriated. And that's why it's so important to make sure you're resting and relaxing your body and your mind and making sure you're getting your nutrients. So when those stresses hit, you'll respond to them by getting bigger and stronger and better.
I'm going to ask you for a favor.
Yes, sir.
I've got every phone lit. You're supposed to be off the air in about 10 minutes. Can you do one more hour with me?
I might run out a little steam there towards the end, but yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, I'll keep pushing you.
Okay.
So we'll keep you one more hour with calls, okay?
Appreciate that. Okay, thanks, Jordan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Inc. I just can't tell all these folks who've been holding for 42 minutes.
Okay, I understand that.
Goodbye. Okay. Let's go to Angie in Medford, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Angie, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hey, Angie.
Hi, thank you for taking the call.
Sure thing.
I'm 46 years old, and I've been on Coumadin. I actually joined the show right when you were starting to talk about Coumadin.
Yeah.
Been listening to you give all this advice and jotting notes down as fast as I can. They tell me that I have to be on Coumadin the rest of my life after throwing a massive pulmonary embolism last year. You know, I went on Coumadin, been off of it, threw another clot, go back on it, and then I went off it for like 4 months.
Well, first of all, Angie, don't get off on your own.
No, not with Coumadin.
Do not do that.
No, you definitely don't want to do that. With Coumadin, your goal should be to wean yourself off gradually, okay? Because when you're on the Coumadin and you're on the blood thinner, your blood is extremely thin and extremely bruising, and it's moving very, very quickly, much more quickly than it should. If you stop taking the Coumadin, you can run into some problems. So here's what you want to do. You want to start to use natural blood thinning strategies gradually, telling your doctor you're doing this so that because he's going to have to lower your dose and your Coumadin as you're doing this. You follow? Does that make sense, Angie?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so as you're doing these, and tell him you're doing this, tell him you want to start using some other strategies, and he'll understand everything I said today. If you put it down, if you took notes and take it to your doctor, he'll understand everything I said.
A good doctor should.
Everything. Right. Nothing here does not make biochemical sense. Nothing. So what you're going to do, first of all, deep breathing. Low blood oxygen is the classic cause, or one of the classic causes. There's probably many, but one of the classic causes of hypercoagulation or blood clotting. So slow, deep breathing. And I know I said it a bunch of times already, so let me just tell you what I mean by that, okay? You want to, it's called diaphragmatic breathing, where you breathe in through your nose. Take about 15, you're not going to be able to do this right away. You'll have to train yourself to get to these times, but 15 seconds in through the nose, and then 15 seconds out through the nose. 15 seconds in and 15 seconds out. So you're doing about 2 breaths a minute. And so, and what you're doing is you're hyperoxygenating the blood. You're oxygenating the blood, and you're driving off toxins. And between that movement of oxygen and carbon dioxide and toxins, your blood will start to thin. All right, and just the muscular movement will help as well, just with the lungs. That's first and foremost. Then you start doing the nutrition, the blood thinning nutrition. Sugar is a major inducer of clotting. And if you have digestive problems, that's another major reason why we clot. There's a thing called leaky gut syndrome, where stuff gets into the blood through the digestive lining, and it initiates an immune reaction. You know, the blood is the life. Nothing is supposed to get into the blood unless it's been vetted. And when the digestive system breaks down, we're off to the disease races, because things get in through the digestive, they leak in through the digestive tract into the blood, and they start to initiate a clotting response between hypoxia, low blood oxygen, between sugar, between digestive toxins. You have the major elements for clotting. So if you start to reverse that, if you breathe, deep breathe, if you reduce the sugar, if you stabilize the digestive system, your blood will start to thin. Now, one last thing, and George pointed this out, fear clots the blood. This is why they give you blood thinners. You know they give you blood thinners after surgery, right?
That's the first thing, right?
Why first do they do that? Well, guess what? When you have a surgical procedure, your body thinks it's dying. It doesn't know it was in the surgical room. It thinks a lion just bit into its leg. So it's protecting you from dying. So blood clotting is a way the body protects itself from death. We send the body signals that it's dying by not having oxygen, by having toxicity in the blood, including sugar, which functions as a toxin for most of us, and by having digestive toxicity. So by keeping toxins out of the blood and by making sure you're getting oxygen and making sure you're getting the nutrients, you'll be able to wean yourself off of that Coumadin, off the Coumadin. But you want to work with your doctor, and he is going to have to lower your dose gradually. So it's going to be a team effort there.
And folks, if you don't get on this hour, don't hang up, because Pharmacist Ben is going to stay with us for one more hour. This is unprecedented. Normally he's on for just two, and everybody with Critical Health Views are on with two, but I've never seen it like this. Something's happening, Ben. Maybe people are more tuned in to their health.
I think, it's like Donald Trump. You know, people are getting sick of politicians, right? And they're getting sick of the mainstream.
And there he goes.
They're getting sick of the mainstream in a lot of ways. They're getting frustrated. They see they go to doctors, or their health bills go up. They got insurance, and their insurance premiums go up, and everything is going up, and they got all kinds of drugs, and they're sicker than ever before. Clearly, it's a failure. It's like politics. Clearly, it's a failure. I'm serious, George. That's why Donald Trump is in the poll, winning in the polls.
Let's go to Blair in Sedona, Arizona. Haven't heard from you in a while. Blair, go ahead.
Thank you, George. And Tom Danheiser, a dynamic part of the Coast to Coast team. Get well, my friend. Thank you very much for your work, too, George, for helping us all out. I have a success story before I talk about the Black Plague. I have an 85-year-old friend in Sedona. I actually won an Emmy for the ABC direction of the 84 Olympics. It got rid of all of his drugs, his Vicodin, his pain patches, and everything, a widower. And I was very proud to see that happen. And at 85 years, it means it's never too late, pharmacist. Ben. Exactly right. Thank you for sharing.
Love that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Never too late.
Well, the Black Plague, the constables, the policemen of the time, they had to stay in the town, and they fed the poor people that were imprisoned in their houses. About two-thirds of 460,000 people evacuated London, by the way, at the Black Plague in 1665. It lasted for 7 years. And these constables would feed those poor unfortunates. And I was thinking, why didn't they die? And why didn't the people that buried these poor Black Plague victims die? Did they have some of that service to humanity you've been talking about? Their immune systems were
That's
boosted?
Very interesting. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. You're right. You know, all whenever they do studies, by the way, medicine started with placebos. And the reason it started with placebos, and this is the dirty
And explain secret. The placebo
yes,
effect.
Yes, I was going to say, this is the dirty little secret of medicine. Placebos work as well as drugs. Right? They got to filter it out. They call it the placebo effect.
It's the body's, the body, that means the body
yes.
cures itself.
Man. It's responding to the mind. This is what we need to be doing. We need to be accessing our divinely gifted healing powers. And they involve the mind, and they involve spirituality, and they involve emotions, and they involve relaxation, and they involve chicken soup, and they involve, you know, they involve hot tubs. This is what I'm saying. It's simple. It's so simple. And the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, and that's exactly what this is. We're dying. We're rotting. We're decaying, and unnecessarily so.
You are one heck of a guy, Mr. Fuchs.
Well, praise God. I don't take credit for that, but I appreciate it.
When you got into pharmacy, what was it that got you into it?
I wanted to help people. I wanted to make a difference. And I was kind of squeamish, actually, if you must know, and I didn't want to cut into things, you know. And
So did you were you thinking about being a doctor, too?
You know, I wanted to help people in the health world, and I love chemistry. I'm fascinated with bio. George, when I heard about biochemistry, my jaw hit the floor. I'm telling you, when I first took biochemistry in pharmacy school, and we learned about how we're so glib about this, but when you think about it, George, a molecule is an electromagnetic shape. It's not a solid structure. It's electromagnetic, and it comes in all of these various frequencies, and we call this biochemistry. And somehow or another, oh my God, George, somehow or another, this thing is so integrated and so complex at such an immense scale of shape-shifting molecules, shape-shifting energetic forms. Can you grok that? Shape-shifting energetic forms at a scale that is so immense, you can't even begin to comprehend it.
Huh.
And when I started to understand that it's all just these shape-shifting electronic forms and how these shape-shifting electronic forms resonate and hit with each other, and that's what biochemistry was, I was hooked, man. I was hooked on it. And I just became, so like we were talking to your last caller, I became passionate about chemistry and biochemistry and about its relationship to God and spirituality and power, empowerment, and about healing and wellness. And I wanted to tell everybody about it. And that's why I do what I do.
Good for you. There's a great school of pharmacology in St. Louis. They are just superb.
Yeah,
there.
One of the best. Washington University.
Yeah, they do it, and they do it well. Is it a good profession today for young people?
No, it's not, unfortunately, because, you know, I had a pharmacy school professor who said that in the future pharmacists would be irrelevant because they'd be vending machines. He said this in the 80s. And now he's close to being right. But you know what they have now, George? You ready for this? 3D printed drugs.
What are they?
They have 3D printers that print your drugs at home.
You just put the ingredients in there?
No, the printer does it. Have you seen 3D printing?
Well, yeah, but where do you get the drugs? You put
somehow
them
somehow or another. Oh, you'll probably have to put the raw materials
yeah,
in.
That's
yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, somehow or another, you'll have to put the raw materials in there, but that's going to be the latest.
Jeez.
3D printed drugs.
I mean, what do these pharmacists make at, like, Walgreens?
They're making probably, you know, I can't tell you exactly.
Give me a range.
100 to 120, probably.
That's not bad.
Not too bad, but it's a miserable job. Oh, my God. And they're filtering them out, and they're giving more work to what they call the techs. And they're pumping the pharmacists out of pharmacy school, so there's for the first time in history, there's unemployed pharmacists.
To me, a pharmacist was what you did, and that was a compounder.
Well, I did it. I worked for a very famous skincare compounder. I don't want to mention the company, but it was a very big company. And I worked for him as his research assistant in pharmacy school, and I never worked in drugstores. I made medicinal creams in pharmacy school. I worked in the lab. And when I graduated pharmacy school, and I didn't know anything about drugstores, really, but I graduated pharmacy school, I went to work in drugstores, I was horrified by what I saw.
Well, plus you didn't want to go to school to open up a bottle and count out 50 pills.
No,
that's your job.
No, I want to make, exactly, I want to play with chemistry. I was a chemist. I love chemistry. And so I started making things for people. I actually started a skincare company that was quite successful based on my formulations in the pharmacy. And now what I do is I want the whole world to know what I know. You know, George, I've seen sample points. I've seen data points because I see so many people, so a picture emerges. You know, when you have a bunch of data points, a picture emerges like a pattern. You know, do you remember that Bob Ross? You know who that guy was, the painter? He was on TV, would draw, show you how easy it was to paint.
Yeah, I didn't know his name, but I remember.
Yeah, he showed you how easy it is to paint. So, you know, you put a little line and there's nothing there, but you put another line and all of a sudden you have a river, and another line you got a tree, another line you got a mountain. So I get to see all of these sample points, so I see how the disease state progresses. And I've seen these patterns, and I've seen the remissions, and I've seen corrections to these patterns and how the body can heal itself. So to me, what's common knowledge to me is unknown. And so I have an obligation to do what I do, to stand on top of the rooftop and scream it, not to mention the fact that it's my friends, it's my family, it's my loved ones, it's people I care about, you know, that I want to help. So, yes, this is my personal as well as my spiritual.
Well, good for you. Okay, well, we're going to come back, folks. Those of you on hold, those of you who are calling in, we're going to take another final hour with Ben Fuchs before Mitchell Scott Lewis joins us in an hour from now as he talks about financial astrology. So get ready for that. But we're going to take some final calls. Ben's website, of course, part of the CriticalHealthNews.com team, CriticalHealthNews.com, or again, that phone number, 1-855-949-RADIO.